is nowhere.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 573. Jason Lindgren is with me and Brandon Joe Williams joins us. We're going to get into, I guess the best way to define it is legal ideas. People are familiar with KL and some of the other legal ideas we have covered. Typically, the rule of thumb for me is that you've got to be able to show me successes that were repeatable before I cover things. But let's face it, the time is now for people to start standing and pushing back for a little decency in this world. So primarily what we're going to do is we're going to get into some definitions and ideas and try to clarify things that have to do with like, what is a person or, you know, things of this nature, which people need to start being aware of. This year, there's going to be big changes. I guarantee it. And there's a fake election at the end of this year, which will add all the more gravity to whatever goes on. But anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a beautiful good afternoon.
Welcome for the first time, Brandon.
Thank you very much. Hello, hello.
Do you want to tell folks where they can find your work? And we should mention, actually, we should be very upfront that you have chosen to add levity into your legal ideas.
Yeah, so the background on mine is that my work may appear at first glance to be offensive and ridiculous, because it is. The reason why is because I wanted to try and stretch out. My background is demographics and marketing, and I wanted to stretch out the age gap on this. I wanted to try to invite, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and even teenagers, if possible. But originally, I was just trying to get 20s and 30s involved in this and more interested in this. And I did that through a very kind of ridiculous branding and marketing.
All right. Please tell folks where they can find your work.
You guys can find me on don'tbeaslave.com. You can find me at williamsandwilliamslawfirm.com.
Okay. So before we jump into the ideas that we have bulleted out, I just want to ask you one thing. You must be familiar with contracts.
Of course.
Okay, are you familiar with the idea of consideration of value? Are you familiar with where I'm pointing at?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so under the idea of contracts, with one of the defining traits of how contracts are dealt with, which is the consideration of value, I'm not sure if I've got that word totally right. Correct me if I don't. But how do you feel about the coming digital money movement? Because from where I'm sitting, if that happens, what it means is you will never be able to get consideration of value on any contract ever again. Not that we really can now, because we're still playing with monopoly money. Although if you used gold or silver currency to buy, you could get that consideration. But what do you think about all that?
Whenever you sign any receipt, whenever you do anything, it's a promissory note. If you look in your card member agreements and stuff like that, there's a section in there that says promise to pay. Everything's a promise to pay. A promise to pay is what's called a negotiable instrument, right? So it's essentially what we consider money in this weird, crazy world. All of those promises to pay. So the word note is a shortening for promissory note. And if you look at those green things that you have in your pocket for all the Americans, it says Federal Reserve Note. Right. So a Federal Reserve note is a type of promissory note. Right. Now, when you study into the Uniform Commercial Code and you start studying about how promissory notes work, all promissory notes have all the same value. So when you go in to get a loan and you promise to pay the loan, the documentation that you sign, which is actually an endorsement at that point because it's a financial instrument, is a promissory note, and they go and they actually exchange that promissory note for Federal Reserve note. So every single time you put your credit card into a credit card machine, it kicks out a promissory note, and the receipt is basically a receipt showing that currency or funds, which are entirely different terms than money, have been manufactured. So people walk around and they are worried about the fact that they have to make money, make money, make money. And it's so hilarious because even that's brainwashing, because every time you put your credit card into a machine, you are literally creating currency or funds. So the thing is that then what happens is that you essentially don't handle those particular funds properly. You abandon them. You don't really know that you're doing it. And then now you're sending them completely irrelevant, completely extraneous other types of promissory notes called Federal Reserve notes to supposedly pay the account. So you're actually paying the account two times, right? And the only way you're ever going to not have to pay the account two times is through litigation, in my opinion, which is what I'm heavily involved in right now. But the thing is that you're creating and abandoning currency all day long.
So do you see, I mean, I guess we should probably move on, but do you see any issue for the majority of people who are in a home who think they've paid for it, but in fact, they've given nothing of value to be in that home? We made our payments, right? We used what we call money, but there's actually no value to be considered there because of exactly what you said. It's a Federal Reserve note, right? Do you think that's going to rear its head up when we start pushing towards digital means for all currencies?
It's already getting really big. The digital thing, people have pushed back against it so much, it appears to kind of have stopped for a minute. But the bottom line is it's not going to matter too much, I don't think, this whole digital thing, because the amount of people waking up in terms of the fact that your mortgage was paid off the second you signed the original promissory note to pay the loan in the first place. So you have this paper in front of you and it says you promised to pay blah, blah, blah at blah, blah, blah interest rate for blah, blah, blah years. The second you sign that document, you've already discharged and paid the entire loan. So any additional payments that you might have made after you signed that original promissory note are actually all legally overpayments, and you can actually have all of them refunded.
You're going to open a door that we're not going to have time to get into today. So I'll let it go at this. The only reason I brought any of this up is because I accept to the core of my soul that one of the ideas behind what they're going to call CBDCs or actually any digital currency, the only reason any digital currency, from my point of view, was allowed to foster at all out in the open, and I know people pushed it behind closed doors and did everything they could to try to decentralize and get more control. But my point is this, when we get to that point, I think it's going to be used to ensure that nobody owns anything ever again. And it's not directly or consistently only about contracts. And I guess it's just normally called consideration or value consideration, but it's like taking a puff off a pipe and blowing the smoke towards the bank and acting like you've paid something when in fact there's no value anymore. And it seems funny for people to hear it because, I mean, we've been handing monopoly money around since what, Jason, 72 or 74? I forget when the gold standard completely ended.
Well, there's one point to this let's make.
Okay.
If I understand this concept correctly, it's that your labor is what's keeping this whole thing going. The money itself is worthless, but because you're a slave and agree to all this stuff, you are going to go work to pay off that mortgage or that credit card or that loan or whatever it happens to be. That is correct, is it not?
Yeah, you can. All promissory notes have all the same value in law. So you can actually take a sheet of paper and you can write up a promissory note. I promise to pay this loan, blah, 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 blah. And you can sign it. You can send it in. Now they're going to say, we don't accept this kind of payment, right? Now, if you litigate and you file a federal lawsuit under negotiable instruments, which would be a federal lawsuit, you can force them through the courts to accept that instrument. You can pay off anything using a promissory note. So there's two negotiable instruments fall into one of two categories. Category one is an unconditional promise to pay. Category two is an unconditional order to pay. So you guys get bills in the mail. Oh, I got this bill that I have to pay, right? Definition of payment is to perform on some sort of obligation or contract. It has nothing to do with sending in green promissory notes called Federal Reserve notes. Now, a bill is short for bill of exchange. A bill of exchange is a negotiable instrument. So it gets even goofier because the bills that you are sent actually have face value, cash value. And you can actually endorse them and you can actually write instructions on the face of the instrument and you can actually mail it back as a payment just by itself because it is a negotiable instrument, right? But they'll never do any of that. You have to litigate to get this done, which is what I'm doing. You have to. They will ignore you. They will send you back stating that this is not a payment. They will close your accounts. They'll do all sorts of goofiness. And you have to grab them, you know, very strongly, and you have to force them to follow the law. And the only way you're going to do that is through litigation.
Here's an interesting thing that someone just sent me not too long ago. The claim is this. You know, there used to be rules in this country that a bank had to have so much paper on hand to back the depositors and all this. It's claimed currently, and I haven't vetted this out, but the guy I got it from is pretty bright and he's in banking. He told me that only 4% of paper is left in America backing all the, you know, supposed money that are in banks, which is what got me thinking about this, because that is definitely a slow creep to no more dollars if they can pull it off. But let's get into what we did here. Let's start off with the definition of what a person is. What is a person? Am I a people?
So there's a bunch of different definitions you'll find, but I think the Internal Revenue Code does the best job on this. The term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation. And that comes from 26 U.S.C. 7701, subsection A1. So just real quick, the first number, when somebody spouts these numbers off, the first number is referring to the title. So Title 26 is the Internal Revenue Code. The U.S. Code is just a body of law. And then the second number, 7701, refers to the section number inside that title and that body of law.
So, I mean, you're kind of underscoring what's happened to our English language, right? Because when we speak, we say things like, well, I'm going to go meet a person, or these people are waiting for me.
Yeah.
And it's actually not proper use. And if I'm not, I'll take a stab. I'll take an educated guess. I would imagine that when we quit speaking in a more biblical way, as we see it now, and quit saying thee or thou or though, that's when the fiction came in. Because what you just stated is a person is a fiction, basically, right?
Exactly. And it's funny that you said the word people, because if you have in the Constitution, you have we the people. The word people is never, ever, ever, ever used. I would go so far as to say, like, people is probably the biggest curse word in the entire mind of all the people who created all of this legality.
I like that. I'm with you there.
Because the thing is that the plural is never, ever people. I don't think you could ever. I think if you wrote people on a document, you'd probably give someone a stroke. The plural of the word person in law is persons.
I had never really thought about that. We could invoke the Bach saga, Jason. Have you heard the Bach saga? That would
no.
It all comes down to reproduction and genitals in the Bach saga, which is not hard to imagine.
Okay.
For me, at least, when you go back. So if you took the word peephole, it would literally be something along the lines, a pole that pees.
Okay.
And to me, you know, you're sitting here just demonstrating what a nonsensical fiction it is. And yet here we are writing a fictitious tale every day and just the way we speak. Because if I want to refer to others, 90-some% of the time, I'm going to say people and it's not correct. Or I'm going to say, look at that person, which is a complete insult, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't know, like, you know, person. You can actually even, you know, I saw the other day in an elevator, maximum 32 persons. And you can even see it sometimes on in pools, maximum 238 persons, right? And I'm sitting here and I'm like, God dang, like it's everywhere. It's not a...
If persons is the plural, then is people... I had never thought about that. Then people's just pulled out of a hat, right? Hey, Rocky.
No. People is from the Constitution. Again, everything they do in law is they... Okay. So what does the Second Amendment protect? People always say, oh, firearms, you know? No, it does not protect firearms. It protects arms. Arms and firearms are two completely different subjects.
That's an important point, because there was a group of people that just tried to de-gun everyone, saying, well, in their time, it was only muskets. So anyone who doesn't have a musket, and the court upheld exactly what you said, saying, no, we still have arms to this day in the way they had arms when this was written.
Yeah, there's arms and there's firearms.
Yeah.
There's the police and there's the sheriff's office. There's persons. And there's people. And the list goes on from there, but you get the idea. There's two entirely separate worlds, okay? And you have the pre-incorporated world, which still exists to this day. In that world, you have people. In that world, you have sheriffs. In that world, you have arms. In this new incorporated corporate nightmare, you have persons, you have police, and you have firearms, which are completely different.
What is the main difference?
Commerce. So, for example, firearms are registered. Firearms are some sort of a commercial related thing, and firearms are held by, well, it all depends on what type of person is holding that firearm. So somebody who is, you know, living in United States, which we're going to get into where that's located, which it's in Washington, D.C. If you're in Washington, D.C., you don't have the Second Amendment. You don't have the right to bear arms. If you're a U.S. citizen, you have the right to bear firearms, but only if you follow all of the codes and corporate bylaws, because you are no longer a people. You are a person.
How come?
Because, well, that happens actually through naturalization, which is something I was going to cover a little bit later. We can cover it now if you want.
Let's do it. Naturalization and the functionality of naturalization.
So naturalization comes from 8 USC 1101. Title 8 is all about nationality and citizenship and all that good stuff. So this is a definition section. If you go down to A23. The definition of naturalization is really how all this works. So the way that I think about this when it comes to things like status correction is you have identity and you have location, right? So identity is you have all these different playing pieces. It's like a Monopoly board where you have the little dog, you have the little hat, you have the little iron, right? So every single individual, trust, corporation, estate, partnership, association is a different playing piece, right? And then you have this term called a natural person, which is supposed to be for men and women, right? The problem is when you look a little deeper on the definitions available for a natural person, you will find some that says, and it possibly sometimes could include artificial persons.
Like a corporation.
Like a corporation. So even that one has a little bit of a slippy back door.
Loophole.
Yeah. So what I do is if you want to operate within the confines of the law, you can use the word natural person, but you just add a little caveat that in this document, when the word natural person is being used, is referring only to living men and women, and it is not including any artificial persons. That's how I do it. They like it. I try to find a middle ground where you're not pissing people off and just like ripping everything apart, but you're protecting yourself and you're using terminology that works for all parties. So I try to be as good on that as I can. So a natural person, when you specify it with that caveat, is a man or a woman. So let's say, for example, you know, you're born, you have a birth certificate, social security number. So you've got this thing called what's called an ens legis or a public corporation, which is the second playing piece. It's a corporation, right? Then let's say you have a company. Now that's a third playing piece, right? So if you have a birth certificate and a social security number and you have a corporation that you run your business through, you have three persons on the board. You have a little dog, a little hat, and a little iron.
Where's the natural person during these other persons' visit to the board?
That would be the one of the three playing pieces, right?
So at one time, the naturalized person, as you're describing it, will be one of the persons on the board.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people who say that's not true, and it may not be true exactly. But the thing is that when you're operating in a courtroom, which I do a lot, and when you're going to litigate to force these various companies in your life to follow the law, which is actually very fun. I am having an absolute blast. You have to operate as though a natural person is within the confines of the law. And you can sort of arrive as a foreigner and you can give information to the courts and stuff like that. You don't have to be under their jurisdiction, but to even operate at all and even to communicate with them at all and even to have like any real interaction with the system at all, you have to kind of play the game a little bit. I don't consider it that risky. Other people do. I think it just comes down to understanding the terms and the structure.
I think I'd describe that differently from my point of view, but go ahead. What you're basically saying is if you're using the term a natural person or a naturalized person, that's actually the living man or the living woman, the or the thou, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, that would mean that the real living human being, individual, actual flesh and bones, no nonsense, living being
yeah.
is in the private. Now, every time they step into the public, they're going to move those game pieces you're talking about. I think that's the way I would go at it.
Well, the thing is, though, this is a good thing to clear up, because I do realize you guys have had a lot of experience with these sorts of people like me. So this public and private thing is a massive misunderstanding. In fact, I wrote a whole article about it, and it's my highest performing article by far. So the term public means having to do with public office. It means employed or operating through the employment power or power of some sort of seat of government, whether it's an employee or officer.
Would you accept commerce? Would you accept being engaged in commerce as equivalent
to
that?
No.
So there's public, the difference. No. Okay.
So public has to do with public office. Private has to do with not involving public office. That's it.
Can you ever do commerce and not be in public?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So the thing is that, you know, again, you have two playing pieces. You have one that is this ens legis, right? Now people use this term straw man a lot, right? And I don't like to use it. And the reason why is, first off, it's just not a good term. Second off, if you look up straw man in the dictionary on Cornell, it says here, straw man is a third party that holds property in intermission for the sole purpose of transferring it to another. So it's almost, a straw man is almost like an escrow account, actually, if you really want to get extremely specific into what it is and how it works. And it's actually funny, because for the audience who has never looked up the word attorney, and then you have the word attern, which obviously is where attorney comes from, the two definitions that define attern are to recognize or bring about a transfer, especially of property, or to transfer something to another, or to transfer homage and service from one lord to another. So a turn means literally to like shift the loyalty of, or to, I mean, essentially legally steal or legally regain something of which was stolen from you, essentially. And a straw man fits together really well with the term a turn, because straw man is a third party that holds property in intermission for the sole purpose of transferring it to another. But the,
so is this out of Blacks or something? Where are you referencing this definition from? So
straw man comes from Cornell Law School. It's just straight off the website.
Okay, so it's not going to be in Blacks or something like that, because a lot of people always reference Blacks when they say things.
Well, Blacks is where I get everything else from. Yeah, like for example, the terms that I like to use for this particular corporation that was opened when you were born, it was about 2 weeks after you were born. There's a couple of terms that I found that I like a lot better, that I think do a better job of describing what it is. The first one is public corporation from Black's Law. It says here, a public corporation is one created by the state for political purposes and to act as an agency in the administration of civil government. Very clear. No hidden anything. It's just like, boom, all the cards are right on the table with that one. And I like that one a lot, right?
So I did the lookup. It looks like there's a couple definitions, particularly if you're going to talk about property law. I think the first one I see here matches what you said. Straw man is a third party that holds property in intermission for the sole purpose of transferring it to another, which I think lines up with exactly what you said. But in property law, a straw man would be the person whom a grantor transfers the land to for some reason, which is a similar idea, but not exact.
Yeah, that's more of like trust specific, but I try to stay away from specifics when it comes to this stuff. Like at the get-go, I try to find more, a little bit more vague, more applicable, because people... The reason why I'm saying this, let's just back up. The reason why I'm saying this is because people think this corporation that was created, this straw man, whatever, this public corporation, is this horrible, evil thing, and you have to destroy it and beat it to death and get it out of your life as quickly as possible. And I think that is completely incorrect. I think that is completely false.
What do you feel is the correct way to frame that in your mind? How would you suggest someone thinks about it?
Well, you have playing pieces on the board, and all you have to do is just control the playing pieces. That's it. If you control the playing pieces, now you just have a bunch of playing pieces.
So almost certainly someone's going to comment and say, that's all well and good, but what happens when I'm pulled in front of the man?
Well, that's how we're going to get into that part next, right? So, okay. So another term that I wanted to clear really quick on this, when it comes to, again, casetas correction, I like to put it in two categories. You have identity and you have location. So this is the last part of the identity section, right? So it's called the ens legis. Love this term. It says here, the definition of ens legis is a creature of the law, an artificial being as contrasted with a natural person. Applied to corporations considered as deriving their existence entirely from the law. So I say ens legis or public corporation when I'm referring to my all caps name that was, you know, open for me to, you know, act as an agency in the administration of civil government. And we all know what is civil government. Civil government is commerce. So it's agency and the administration of commerce is actually what the public corporation really is, right? Now, a corporation gives you limited liability in commerce. So it's pretty sweet. I like it. If someone came along and said, Brandon, we're going to take away your straw man. Don't you worry anymore. I'd be like, you ain't taking my straw man anywhere. It's mine. You ain't taking that thing anywhere.
Don't you actually need it? See, this is the problem that we find in the legal things. And I do think a lot of people think exactly what you said. Oh, I got to get rid of that all caps name. And I get why. If you want to assess what we're talking about, honestly, why would anyone ever do any of this? To reread the definition you just laid down really shows why. So what we're talking about is a creature of law, an artificial being, as contrasted, here's the big hint, as contrasted with a natural person.
Exactly.
But why the hell would anyone ever do this? Can't we just be flesh and blood, living children of God or whatever hippy dippy thing I want to say? Why would someone do that? And when you begin to look, it's obviously about control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why else would you ever do it? So what you're getting at, and I think I don't agree with everything in the way you've done it, but I'm also aware that there's way more than one way to skin a cat here, which is why I'm not calling you out on any of it.
Yeah. Well, the second part is important. It's the yin to my yang.
But let me make the point. Don't you, in many of the ways you would view this, don't you actually need that artificial entity to make moves on the board in an effective manner?
But my personal opinion, and this is not, I try to stay away from my personal opinion because it's just not terribly valuable. It's just an opinion. Everyone has 1,000 of them. But my personal opinion is that the when people learn how this works, that's the way out. Because what's going to happen is then everyone is going to say, this is stupid. And they're just going to throw all the extra playing pieces in the garbage. That's kind of just the really simple way that I think this is going to go down.
Yeah, but if they do that, how do they, you know, then you change entirely the way you've lived your life.
It's okay. I think that the pre-1871 American way, the common law, simple, not all this goofiness, this is all added complexity.
Okay. I mean, I can't argue with that, but I will say the following. Many people that contact us after so many of the legal shows, the majority of them are interested in living something similar to what they're used to. Now, the people who are very serious, they're ready to change everything. I find this control, this underhanded nonsense, all this sneaky stuff that's been done unacceptable, and I'm going to change how I do everything. But that's a real minority, and I'm just putting it out on the table so that people listening know there are a number of ways you can deal with what we're talking about. But the truth is that I think very few people are actually prepared to completely change up everything about the way they live.
Well, the second part, the location part, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I get into that now, you'll see it's actually so simple. It's actually shocking to the point where you won't even believe me.
So just sum up quickly, naturalized and naturalization. Just sum it up quickly in a sentence or two.
Yeah. So this is the location part. The second part of this. So you have all these playing pieces on your Monopoly board. Now, how do you move them around the board? Nobody knows, right? So the way that you move your Monopoly pieces around the board is actually called naturalization, right? And this definition, when I read it to you, you're going to think that there's more to it. You're going to think there's got to be more. There's no way it can be this simple. There's no way, blah, blah, blah. You might walk around in a daze for the next 60 days. That's what I did. So I just want to preface this definition. So the definition of the term naturalization means the conferring of nationality of a state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. And you can ask me, your mind's going to go crazy. You're going to say, well, what does that mean? How do I do it? So people believe when they hear the term status correction, that it's this one-time thing or whatever. That's not what it is. Status correction is every single time you have four playing pieces. You have your natural yourself as a natural person, if you want to play that, which that's how I play. You have your ens legis. You have, let's say, one corporation and one trust. So you have four playing pieces on the Monopoly board. Now you can say, I confer the nationality of Boardwalk upon the ens legis after birth by any means whatsoever. The ens legis piece, let's say it's the top hat, instantaneously teleports to the Boardwalk. There is no dice. There is no chance. There is no possibility of you landing on a luxury tax and paying $75. You simply confer the nationality of a location upon any of your playing pieces absolutely anytime you want. And those playing pieces are instantaneously transported to that location. You can relocate your playing pieces 580 million times per minute. It makes absolutely no difference. In fact, you can actually locate any of your playing pieces in as many different locations at the same time or take away those locations at the same time. So you can have four playing pieces.
For what end?
All four playing pieces can technically be, quote unquote, on every single section of the entire Monopoly board all at the same time, or none of them.
So why would you do this? Why is this a benefit?
So the thing is that United States, if you go to 28 USC 3002 subsection 15, United States means, and then below that it says a federal corporation. So United States is actually a person. Now, if you go to UCC 9-307, subsection H, we're going to find out where is that person located. It says here, location of United States. The United States is located in the District of Columbia. Now, the District of Columbia is not part of the original unincorporated United States of America. So when you confer the nationality of United States on one of your playing pieces, you're transferring the location of that playing piece to a foreign incorporated land where things like the Second Amendment don't exist.
So you can naturalize to, say, California. Okay, let's say
California, there's two Californias. So California,
there's two United States too.
There's two United States. So what they did was the foreign incorporated zone called Washington, D.C. does not have the right to create anything within a foreign country. California is a foreign country from Washington, D.C. So what they did is they created a corporation called State of California. State of California is also located in the District of Columbia. So when you sign up for voter registration, what's happening is you didn't actually live in the state of California, which is a corporation located in the District of Columbia, until you conferred the nationality of State of California upon yourself or your ens legis or your corporation or your trust after birth by any means whatsoever.
Like what? What's an example? Give me a means. How would you do it?
Driver's license, passport, W-9 tax forms, voter registration. Those are the four hot ones.
So you're using the fictitious entity's documents to do it.
Well, you wrote your name on a voter registration slip and then you signed, and then on the bottom it says you signed under penalty of perjury that you are a resident of State of California. So that line and that signature is naturalization, right? So a U.S. citizen, when you go in and get a driver's license, it'll ask you, are you a U.S. citizen? Now, what's funny is even if you weren't, if you click yes, you now are, because you conferred the nationality of the state called United States upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. So what's happening is that first off, people don't realize you have all these playing pieces. That's the first shocker. Then you don't realize that you don't live in any of these places, and neither do the playing pieces, until you say they do. And now they do.
All right. So use the example. Your playing piece was registered, as you described it, in DC, which is basically just a military zone, but it's a corporation. It's a fiction.
Yeah.
And so you're going to confer your, is the right word, naturalize? You're going to naturalize to California. Are you going to move to California as the state of California or the actual real land called California?
Yeah. So if you look online, you can find all the original names for all the original states. Like, for example, a lot of the states kind of in your area, like Rhode Island, if you look those up, they're actually were originally called Crown Colony of Rhode Island, Crown Colony of Massachusetts, Crown Colony of Vermont. So the thing is that state of Rhode Island and Crown Colony of Rhode Island are two different locations, and they're two different legal structures. So state of Rhode Island is a corporation located in the District of Columbia, and it operates off of the United States Code, the Code of Federal Regulations, and the Uniform Commercial Code.
So what's the Crown one then?
Crown Colony of Rhode Island is a common law unincorporated zone that is physically located where you as the man or natural person is physically located.
All right, so now let's come back around. You were in DC. We used the example of going to California. How are you going to do it? And which California are you going to do it in?
So for me, it would be California Republic is the original name for California. So it wouldn't be State of California. Do you live in the state of California? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do not. Where do you live? I live in California Republic. You see? Unincorporated. You could also add that. That's another great word to add in. Unincorporated California.
So in everything we're describing, any idea of land or sea jurisdiction or any of these other things, it's not even part of the conversation we're having, right?
No, because none of that really matters. It's just added fluff. Because what can you do with that? You can't do anything with that. With this, you can do something with it.
Well, I actually did do something with that, but I'm trying to learn what you're laying down. What I did is similar to what you're saying, except I moved. Well, it's not even really exactly, but since we've laid it out as game pieces on a board, I moved my piece to the not state of corporation California, but to the land called California. But I did it with the rights of someone before 1933.
Oh, okay.
And since I was born there, it was handy because my birth certificate demonstrates that. And as you know, your birth certificate gets signed by a doc that watches you breathe your first breath, and that gets sent up to the corporation called the State of, and they make another one. And that's the beginnings of what you started to call straw man. And I kind of agree with you. It's maybe not the best word to use. We used to use it a lot. And they start creating the all caps name, starts to appear there. Well, all that is gone from me. Well, actually, I own it all. I control my all caps name, but my birth certificate has been recognized all the way to the top. So I'm trying to measure in my mind if the way that you're going at this is an alternative method, which is why I keep asking all the questions, just to let you know.
Oh, I can definitely answer that question. Now I understand where you're going. I can give you an answer to that. So I did this kind of similar thing, you know, and then as I learned more and more and more, I decided to go in a different direction entirely. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I did it too.
There are a number of ways to
do this. The way that I do it is if we reread naturalization, the term naturalization means the conferring of nationality of a state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. Now, the word state is really where, you know, I forget what our little list is here, because the word state is, so that's the next one. Okay, good. So the definition of the term nation or state. So I created my own nation, and you can do it in literally 5 seconds. And then you can confer the nationality of that brand new state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. I actually feel that's the best choice.
So, but wait a minute. When you say confer by any means whatsoever, that is quite a nebulous thing to say to people listening. So let's I mean, I'm not asking you to draw a map, but let's.
We can draw a map.
Well, just go easy, because I don't think people should jump into what we're talking about until they know enough to make good decisions. And I'll just put that on the
board. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm here. Because, you know, I like to break down every single word and every single definition.
So let's do it. We're talking about conferring. You can do it in any which way you want as you're stating it. Well, how do you confer? Are you submitting documents? Are you what?
Yeah,
are you doing?
That part's easy. The part that's complicated, or the part that's exciting, or the part that's like holy, is actually the definition of the word state and the definition of the word nation have the same definition, right? And I was trying to figure this out for the longest time. Like, what is a state? What is a nation? And then they started using this word body politic. And what is that? What is a society? What is this? So I went on this whole thing, right? And I found this definition that comes out of a court case. Of the definition of the word nation. It's actually one that they use in a lot of things. And it's the most mind-blowing thing I think I've probably ever seen. One of the most mind-blowing things. So the definition of the word nation, okay, is an independent body politic, a society of men united together for the purpose of promoting their mutual safety and advantage by the joint efforts of their combined strengths. But every combination of men who govern themselves independently of all others will not be considered a nation. A body of pirates, for example, who govern themselves are not a nation. To constitute a nation, another ingredient is required. The body thus formed must respect other nations in general and each of their members in particular. Such a society has her affairs and her interests. She deliberates and takes resolutions in common, thus becoming a moral person who possesses an understanding and will peculiar to herself and is susceptible of obligations and rights.
It's all really quite confusing the way it's shaken out, because here you are defining a word that was so blithely grabbed, turned into a corporation, and used as the title of the corporation, as if the definition of the word they had used, it's meant in your mind to mean what you think it should mean. But in fact, what it is it's a ruse.
Yeah. But what's more exciting about this definition is this definition, and if you look up a lot of information on what a state or a nation is, has absolutely nothing to do with location or territory. You don't need land. You don't need... People think that the word nation or the word state has to do with a location. It has absolutely, absolutely nothing to do with location or territory. Nothing. Not a thing. It has to do with a bunch of people coming together as minds. It could be your family. Could be your family is technically a nation in law. Your job is a nation in law. Your profession with your friends that you work with is, a nation in law. The show you have is a large nation, actually, in law. And the thing is that you can actually create a nation, the Crow Nation or whatever. You could name it anything you want. You could even have your own little nation. And you can confer the nationality of that state or nation upon any of your playing pieces, any of your persons.
How?
Just say
how do you confer it.
You could just say it, or you could just write it.
So then how do you get that recognized? Anyone can say anything.
Yep.
And it always,
I've got that
in,
one
in
for
every
you too.
Comment section. Yeah. You're going to find out, well, this is all well and good, but now I'm standing in front of a judge. So now what?
Check it out. 18 USC 11 has the answer to that question. Foreign government defined. The term foreign government includes any government, faction, or body of insurgents within a country with which the United States is at peace, irrespective of recognition by the United States. So you have your own nation, and as long as that nation is at peace with the United States, it is legally a foreign nation, foreign government.
Yeah, but it's all well and good that the definitions say I can simply make a statement and it is so. That's basically what we're saying here.
Well, now the first question, in my opinion, when I saw that was, well, what's the definition of the word peace, right? Now, the word peace is defined almost the exact same way as the definition of the word nation is defined, right? The definition of the word peace, just to end that off, because it's like, well, what is that, right? It's the tranquility enjoyed by a political society, internally by the good order which reigns among its members, and externally by the good understanding it has with all other nations. Applied to the internal regulations of a nation, peace indicates or shows, in a technical sense, not merely a state of repose and security as opposed to one of violence or warfare, but likewise a state of public order and decorum.
Okay.
It's very, very, very specific.
So I'm still stuck back where I began here. How does it get recognized?
There is no need for it, and there is no recognition. You don't need to get I have ambassador at large license plates. I have a special passport, all of it. None of it needs to be recognized. It's all legal.
All right, let me try it this way. You're in court. I'm the judge. Good morning. Are you Brandon Joe Williams?
I'm the agent on behalf of the principal.
No. Are you Brandon Joe Williams?
I'm the agent on behalf of the principal.
What principal?
Brandon Joe Williams.
Are you Brandon Joe Williams?
I am not. I'm the agent on behalf of the principal.
All right. Well, Brandon Joe Williams seems to not be present for this hearing, so I'm going to put this case on hold and I'm going to issue a bench warrant.
Great. I'll mail them into you.
Okay. And you just walk?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you deal with the bench warrant after the fact?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never seen, I mean, with what we're doing, I've never seen anything like this happen.
I actually have.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've seen it go both ways. And to be fair, recently I've seen more successes than not for people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that the real issue, and we're literally here in the conversation, the real issue is that you have to be at peace. You have to be tranquil. If you are tranquil and you come and you know, if I get pulled over, it's going to be, "Hi, officer, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm an ambassador at large of a foreign nation. I'm here on business and I'm also an American lawyer. I use a passport and I have a federal registration called a private motor carrier DOT number. I operate this vehicle through a private irrevocable trust. As such, I myself am not a resident of the state of California and the trust is not located in the state of California. And I have a private motor carrier DOT number to give him. I have a passport to give him. I'm very kind."
Well, you've made a key point here. And Jason, who was it? Paul, who lived exactly what we're talking. Help me with this title again.
Paul Enslaved.
Paul Enslaved. We have an episode with Paul Enslaved, which illustrates he lives exactly what Brandon is bringing up. You can't fake this. Just because you know the right words to say is not doing it 100%. And anyone who wants to go look up Paul Enslaved, you'll see exactly what the demeanor and the belief in a code of conduct is part and parcel in the way that Brandon just tried to illustrate it. Being calm, being 100% in, never being disrespectful. I mean, I think these are key points. But in terms of not being in front of a judge, and we've only got a few more minutes here in hour one, so we're going to take a break shortly. Like, if you have to file documents and things, are you concerned at any point with getting the things that you've established here recognized?
No, and that's actually all part of the brainwashing. Like, for example, let's say you want to go do a DS-11 form and you want to get a passport. Everyone is attempting to have the Department of State confer nationality of a state upon them after birth by any means whatsoever. I have a free document on my website. I have a bunch of free documents. One of them is the explanatory statement. You are not asking anyone to confer anything on any of your playing pieces ever again. You are the one conferring. You are writing the Department of State. You're saying, "I've already conferred nationality of a state upon these playing pieces. That's the end of the story. And now you're going to give me a passport. And if you don't, we're going to federal litigation." You don't say that. You don't say that in the document. The document's like very kind, very gentle.
No, but you're making a good point to act like adult and take responsibility. So just let me, we're going to break for hour one here. We're going to take 5-10 minutes to pee, do whatever we need to do. But just let me ask you a couple quick questions. Do you have a driver's license?
As of recently, no, but I went and changed the contract on it and I had a different contract for about a year and a half before I got rid of it. So I had it for a while.
All right. So if you get pulled over, a cop says, "Show me your license," what do you do?
I have my passport and I have a private motor carrier DOT number with registration papers.
Special plates on the car?
Diplomatic plates, ambassador at large.
And you were issued the diplomatics or you made them?
Made them because the ones that come from the Department of State are for motor vehicles only. I do not operate a motor vehicle.
All right. Next question. Do you have a birth certificate?
Well, yeah.
Do you use it?
I use it to get the DS-11 approved.
Okay. Which one is it? Certificate of live birth or issued by the corporation state of?
Yeah, I use the certificate of live birth. The thing is that, you know, once you really, I mean, I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you asking me in relation to like a secured party creditor type of situation? Because I don't really do any of that.
No. I'm just asking general questions I know will come up in comments because the people who think about this start to get kind of, well, what does this mean in my daily life? Like if I get pulled over, do I have a license? That's why I'm asking you. Do you use the live certificate, birth certificate? Did you get it authenticated or anything like that? Or you just have it?
No. I just use the passport for everything.
Okay. So your passport, which was issued to you, so clearly it worked. Whatever you did to get it worked. What does your passport say?
It looks exactly the same as everybody else's. You can't tell it's any different.
So are you a United States citizen in that passport?
No, I'm a non-citizen national.
Non-citizen national of a particular state?
Of the nation of the Amnesty Coalition.
Okay. And that's an issued federal document, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to ask because I know people are going to ask it.
Yeah.
Basically, for everyone listening, you can see what I've done here. I've asked a lot of questions to put the information out. Brandon's a smart guy. He knows a lot about definitions and a lot about laws, but he hasn't come up to his first wins yet. He has litigations in place and other things he's doing. We will keep in touch with him. When he meets successes, we will try to cover those successes. And the only reason I'm saying any of this is because when we talk about things like this, these are not things for you to go act on until you are educated, until you know what you need to know. If you decide to change status or do anything, you're basically putting yourself in a position where you might have to walk the walk instead of just talking the talk. And so I just want everyone to be clear that this information is being laid out as a means for you to use it to learn more. Would you add anything to that, Brandon?
Yeah, we have had a lot of successes, but in all different areas. But my main concern is to try to make things as patternized and as organized and as understandable as possible. And this is why I don't personally work for people or charge people. Everything that I do is completely free. I feel that everyone deserves to have the truth and deserves to have the information. But I feel like everyone deserves to have the information, but not everyone deserves to have someone actually do this for them, because then they're living in this foreign world for the rest of their life that they don't understand. And it's like putting someone my grandma in a 1600 horsepower car. It doesn't make sense to me. You the kinds of people who drive 1600 horsepower cars are the kinds of people who built the 1600 horsepower cars. They know the car. So I feel like my job on this planet, on this earth, is to give you as much information as I possibly can in the silliest, kind of goofiest, most fun way I possibly can. It's your job to build the car and drive the car.
You got to learn. That's what it comes down to. You've got to be able to walk the walk. We're going to take a break for hour one. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in. Members get access to all the forums. They can create forums. They get access to all the comment sections under every episode. And they get free access to the film Shoot the Moon. Members will also get free access to the solar video that I'm about to be in shooting again. It won't be posted anywhere else. I might put a teaser up on YouTube, but I will not be giving away my video work anymore to these platforms that I have no respect for. With that, we're going to take a short break. We hope to see you logged in as a member for the second hour, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Cheers.
is the enemy.